People were filled with expectation and were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. Christ is Greek. Messiah is Hebrew. The definition of both of these is the one who is anointed, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. Today in the Gospel, we see with what the Christ, the Messiah, is to be anointed with. It is not oil made of olives, but it is the anointing of the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus. This anointing, which reveals that he is the anointed one and empowers him for the mission ahead. Now that may sound weird to our ears, empowers him for the mission ahead, because we think and we say, well, Jesus is God, and rightly so, he is. The second person of the Holy Trinity, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, who has existed for all eternity, who empties himself of his divinity and humbles himself like a slave to become one like us. My brothers and sisters, why does God work in this way? Why did Jesus need to humble himself? Why did his public ministry only begin in this moment of the anointing with the Holy Spirit? The answer to that question, my brothers and sisters, is to understand the vocation of those who will believe in Jesus, who will be also anointed with the Holy Spirit to go into the world to continue his saving mission. God does it in a way because he is preparing that in that same way that we would be baptized, that we would receive the Holy Spirit, that we would then be sent forth in mission. But the most important thing that jumps out to me that I would like to express to you today is Jesus' identity. Jesus hears the voice of the Father. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Immediately from here he goes into the desert to be tempted. And what does the devil do? If you are the Son of God, if you are, he is tempting this identity. He is testing Jesus in knowing who he is as the beloved Son of the Heavenly Father. It is essential, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus know himself for the mission. Because if he doesn't know himself, then he will claim his identity from the mission. And there is a problem with this. I know brother priests who struggle to take vacation, to leave their parish for any reason whatsoever. In their mind it is, well, you know, they won't be able to do it without me. I'm like, really? There's a cemetery full of priests that think the same thing. That their identity is so locked to the parish that they struggle that if I'm not in the parish, not doing my thing, that I don't know who I am. That they can't even leave to go on vacation. Well, they have a crisis of identity. Does that sound healthy to you at all? My brothers and sisters, we must know our identity as a beloved son, as a beloved daughter, first, before we enter into mission. I work now with this young adult group, with the St. Paul's Outreach and all of that. And all of these young adults, so many of them are going through the discernment of their vocation in life. I hated that time in my life. It was horrible. It was painful. It was difficult. What is God asking me to do? This is what I want. What does God want? Am I going to mess this up? How am I going to screw this up today? Did I not hear what he said? Did I miss something? How come I'm not entering into this vocation and where it is supposed to be? It was a terribly difficult time in my life. And now I get to walk with those who are in the midst of it. And what I keep reminding them is, you have to know yourself as a beloved son, as a beloved daughter first. Because if you don't know this, and you enter into another vocation, one that calls you to interact with another human being, you will cling to that human being and try to draw from them your identity. You will, in essence, be using them to know who you are. That is not a call to love. Love as defined by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is not self-seeking. It is not love for the sake of myself. It is a free gift of self to the other. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Think about the friendships you have that are free, that there is a freedom in those friendships to be who you are, to care for each other in that. And you know, that you feel like you can be yourself, that you can give of yourself. And then compare it to a friendship that is clingy, a friendship that needs you to be this person, this thing for me. Think of the situations when we have to speak some truth into the life of family members that we know they're not going to want to hear. How many times have I heard it? Well, you wouldn't know the answer to that, but I've heard it many times when grandparents come to me and they say, "Father, I need to confront my child about this or this or that, but if I do, I will never see my grandchildren ever again." It's really important in that moment for grandma and grandpa to know that they are a beloved son and daughter of God first. That their identity first is this, and not grandma and grandpa. Because if we cling to that identity greater than the one that our faith is built upon, then we will struggle to speak the truth into situations that are difficult. If someone is doing something that is killing them, and we refuse to speak the truth into that situation because we think, well, they won't be my friend if I speak the truth, then why do you possess this friend? You possess the friend for yourself. You possess the friend for what it does for you. This is not a real friendship. You're not loving them for the sake of love. You're loving them for yourself. And this is the temptation of all of the missions and all of the ministries and all of the vocations that we are called to. A priest can love the people of God for himself and what it does for him. A married couple, a husband and a wife, can love the other for themselves and what it does for them. And when I see funerals and people who die, and I see devastation, I'm not talking about mourning and sorrow, but devastation, because they no longer know who they are. This person has died. They've betrayed me. I needed them. They left me. I sort of go, pew, 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 pew. Like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you that your identity is so wrapped up into another weak human being? What I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, is not easy. Trust me, these words that I'm speaking, I'm listening to as well. In my life as a priest, the fear of speaking the truth, even though I know that people may leave the parish or they may stop giving as a way of saying, "Oh yeah, Father, you're going to say that to you." Well, do they like me? Did they check on my Facebook page? How many likes did I get? Oh my gosh, someone complained. Am I going to be able to do my job as a priest if I'm worried about how many dislikes I get on a tweet or a homily? I have to know myself first and foremost as the beloved son of our Heavenly Father if I am ever going to be a faithful priest for you. To come back to my bread and butter, my foundation. Earlier this week, there were readings in which Jesus was doing all of this incredible ministry, and then at the end it says he went off to pray. And for the world, they say, well, what is he doing? He's God. Why does he need to go pray? Because he's going back to the foundation. He is solidifying his identity in that prayer, in that conversation, in that relationship with his Father, so that the ministry doesn't become what he clings to. This is what allows Jesus to confront the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the powers that be over and over again. Could you imagine if Jesus turns to his apostles and said, now go check with the Pharisees and see how many of them like me? Because I'm worried. It was kind of rough what I said earlier. Do you know yourself as a beloved son, as a beloved daughter? That is your first vocation. It is the first call that has been put upon your life. You are a beloved son. You are a beloved daughter. You have been anointed with the Holy Spirit. This is your first vocation. This is your foundation. This is your strong tower against the onslaught of things in the world. To know who you are as a beloved son, as a beloved daughter. My brothers and sisters, I will say it again. What I am saying is not easy. To speak truth, to enter into relationships when we know we will stretch them and we will put them in a difficult place by speaking the truth. It is more difficult when you don't know who you are. To know who you are by your baptism will help you to love. Not to love because of what I get out of it, but to love for love's sake, to fulfill the mission that we have, to be like Christ, to give of ourselves to others. I'm looking at all your faces. I think all you're seeing is the challenge in this. Let me reemphasize the good part of this. You are a beloved son and daughter of God. And you have been anointed with the Holy Spirit. You may let that go or you may forget about it, but it can never be taken from you. That is the sure foundation. That is the strength that you will need. It is what will bolster you. It is the identity that when you change jobs, that you will return to. And it will allow you to quit this job and start this new job. It will allow you to say yes when God asks you to do something that you've never done before. Because it rests in this surety. So my brothers and sisters, if you know the difficulty of what I have spoken about, then be reminded today the foundation from which you can speak it. We will be looking ahead. From now we begin ordinary time. Jesus begins his public ministry. We'll be going into his teachings and his miracles and all of these things. But just notice, everything Jesus does, he starts from his identity as a beloved son. This is where our vocations must start. Your marriages, my call to priesthood, the love that we have in being just a baptized believer, and the mission and call you have from that. This must find its strength in your baptism. In your being brought into the family of believers. God's words being spoken to you, "You are my beloved child." So we are greatly challenged to love for the sake of the other. May we lean heavily upon our identity in Christ. Amen.